Let me calm myself down. Woo, pray with me and pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you on today. Lord, we come into your presence with thanksgiving on today and with joy in our hearts, God. Lord, we come because we're hungry for you, God. So, Lord, today, as your word go forth, Father God, I ask you to just get Dorothy out of the way and just use me, Lord. Speak through me, God, that a word from you will penetrate the hearts of your people, God, even my own, God, as I stand before you, God, as a weak vessel, Father God. But I know in my weakness you are made strong, Lord. So I'm dependent on you, God, and I just ask you to do what you do, God. And we will forever give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have a word for today, and I have to let you know that it's very personal to my heart. So if you see me crying up here, know that God been working through me with this word for a while. It hasn't been overnight, but he's been working with me ever since my mom passed away in June. And it was then that Dorothy had to take a good look at her heart and began to see some things in there that I didn't like. Because it was hard for me to come before you even today to give the testimony. I wanted to go somewhere else, but God, like, no. Because anybody know, as a minister, when you're given a word, you can't give that word effectively unless you can speak from experience. So as today, I want to just talk to you, just give you a brief testimony about when my mom was going through her illness for about 6 months. Her kidneys were failing. And when she passed away this past June, I found out that I had some bitterness in my heart. Because I was holding some things against some people that I thought should have been there for me, close friends, close family. And I was bitter. I was like, everybody that I was thinking of that should have been there wasn't there for me. And it wasn't until I went to a conference, because sometimes you got to get out of that comfort zone. You know what I'm saying? Because my husband, he was speaking to me, and I didn't want to hear nothing he had to say. I just wanted to keep to myself. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to sit in my grief, and that was my excuse. Oh, I'm still grieving. I don't feel like being around family. I don't feel like calling this person or that person. And so it wasn't until I went to a conference not too long, in the beginning of October, where the Spirit of God began to really move in my heart. And it was then that I could hear him saying, "You worried about everybody not being there for you? Wasn't I there? Wasn't I there for you? Who could be with us better than anybody else? Jesus." Amen. And I cried. I didn't even tell my husband this part. I cried, 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 cried. Tears, I didn't even cry for my mama. You know why? Because I was repenting. I was like, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, because of what was in my heart." And so today, my scripture is coming out of Psalm 51:10. And the title is simply "A Clean Heart and a Right Spirit," because Psalm 51:10 is, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me." See, at the conference, I realized that I needed the right spirit. My heart wasn't right. And it was keeping me from feeling the presence of God in my life. So when we have things in our hearts sometimes and you feel like God is so far away, check the relationship. Check what's in there, because it's something, this heart. This heart is something. And so I have to tell you this, that this scripture, I'm always praying it, because I'm like, "Oh, that's my favorite scripture." And if you ever read my bio, at the end of it, it say, her favorite scripture is Psalm 51:10. And I'm like, "Okay, Lord, Why ain't my heart changing? Why don't I feel like, you know why? Because I had not repented. I had not repented for anything. I have to go way back. Because there's some things way back there that we have not repented for. Way back. And sometimes when you're walking around or when you're in your house and these thoughts come to you about something that happened way back when, check your spirit. Maybe you're supposed to be repenting. And don't worry about if the person ain't fair or whatever. Just say, repent. Because that's what David did. And so, I want to just share a little bit about the background of this text. So I just pulled that one out. Because if you read Psalm 51, you will read the whole prayer of David crying out to God. And I always say, I can imagine David laying before the Lord just pouring his heart out, just crying and weeping. When was the last time you laid before the Lord and wept? Weeped over something you did that you know wasn't right. The last time I did that was in the first week in October. Wept before the Lord, repenting for the things that was in my heart because it didn't feel good. It didn't feel right. I didn't like it. And God didn't like it. So, we all know about King David. We know about his affair with Bathsheba and how he killed Uriah, her husband, and tried to cover it up. He had got her pregnant. And so, the story is found in 2 Samuel 11. And then, at the very last verse in that chapter, the thing that David had done with Bathsheba was evil. It was evil in the sight of the Lord. He was displeased with what David had done. And so David had a wake-up call. My wake-up call was at the conference. This is David's wake-up call, 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 4. You see, sometimes we do things and they kind of just roll off our back and we go on with our life thinking everything is fine. So that's what David did. You know, he king, he in authority, he can get whatever woman he want to get. And he took advantage of his authority. He abused his authority. So he had a wake-up call. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 4. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, one little female lamb. It's a baby sheep. He had bought. Now, he raised up this little lamb. He raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It shared food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the little female baby lamb from the poor man and prepared it. He slaughtered it. He cooked it. And he gave it to the traveler. And David, isn't that something like us? If somebody come and tell us about somebody, we get so mad at them. David burned with anger. That's in 2 Samuel 12, 5. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, surely as the Lord lives, this man needs to die. And I can imagine Nathan just calm, cool, and collect. Because, you know, the Bible tells us that soft words turn away anger. Nathan, he was just cool, calm, and collect. And he said, you are the man. And oh my God, something went through David. Realization set in. When somebody come and tell you that you did something wrong, do you get angry? I don't want to hear it. You can't tell me nothing. Sometimes that's my attitude. I don't want to hear it. Leave me alone. But David didn't do that. You know what he said in 2 Samuel 12, 13? He said, I have sinned against the Lord. Woo! That's what I was feeling. I sinned against God. The things that we do that don't please God, don't worry about who they hurt. Don't worry about the people. The first person that you should be worried about that it hurts is God. Because he loves us, and he told us to be obedient to his word. And when we disobey God's word, God is grieved. And so when we do something that we know is out of the will of God, we should be repenting. We should be crying. We should say, I've sinned against you, Lord. That's repentance. Repentance is when you tell God, I sinned against you. And then you try not to do it again. Don't go back to it. You see, David had such a good relationship with God. How can I have a good relationship with God? Dorothy, you've been to church all your life. Your daddy was a preacher. Your grandfather was a preacher. Your mama's uncles were a preacher. You've been saved since you've been a baby because your parents raised you up. So how can I sin against God? David had a good relationship with God since he was a boy, a shepherd boy, tending the sheep. And he killed the lion and the bear, and he didn't give credit to David. He gave credit to God. And he confessed his faith in God, and he was bold about his belief in God. He stood up against the Philistine Goliath and cut his head off. That's the kind of boldness we should have for God. Don't come up against my God, because we're going to have to say something to God. We don't have to defend it, but we need to let people know where we stand in our faith. And David did that. And so, the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. David did it. This is a man that God said he was after his heart. God chose him because David was going to lead the people into the word of God. David was going to put God before the people and tell the people, this is the God I serve, and y'all going to serve him too. But he committed adultery. And before he even did that, he started don't get me saying this word wrong because I always say it wrong, covet. He started coveting. That means he started desiring what somebody else had. And he didn't just desire it, he acted upon that. So, the effect of what David did, being disobedient to God, had an effect of him to the point where he cried before God, against you only, and you only have I sinned. And his joy was kind of stumped for a minute. If you have a relationship with God and you're doing some things that you know are not pleasing with God, sometimes it takes your joy away, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what Nehemiah 8:10 tells us. But when we're so weak and we allow that thing to get in there between us and God, it does something to our spirit. And so I love Psalm 51 because it reveals so much about David. It reveals so much about a man that walked with God, that lifted God up, that had faith in God, and a man that fell. So we're not perfect in our walk with God. We're going to fall sometime. But will we acknowledge it? Will we acknowledge our sin and tell God, I'm so sorry? Will we fall on our face and weep? Weep. So I just want to break the text. I just took this scripture because we know the context around everything. But this one verse, like I said, is personal to me because I pray it all the time. And I'm all the time wondering, why, Lord, ain't my heart changing? And so, because God said, I ain't cried out, I ain't repented for some things. And so, the first thing that David says is create. Create in me. Now, he know he talking to the creator. He know he talking to the God that created the heaven and earth, the God that created us in his image, the God that breathed his breath into our bodies and we became a living soul. That's the God he talking about, because he know God. He knows God because he had a relationship with God. He sought God. God talked with him. I mean, David and God was like this. He was like this, but yeah, he fell. But he said, create in me, God. Create. Only you can create in me. Only you can take what has been tainted and make it over, God. And give me a new heart. You are the creator. I recognize you as the only one that can change this heart, this inner being. Because I'm not talking about this flesh. There's a spirit in us. It's the heart of us. It's where all of our thoughts and our actions and our decisions you hear them up here. It's stirring up here, but it comes from here. And so Jeremiah 17:9-10 said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Woo, that's terrible. But you know what? It's the truth, because we live in this fallen world. We know when Adam sinned in that garden, that sin infiltrated the world. And now we're all born into sin, because even David admitted that. In the womb, I am being made in sin. I'm a sinful person. We're sinful by nature. But we got Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and nailed all that stuff to the cross. He nailed it all. Just recognize what the impact of what Jesus did in our lives. If you really think about it, it was powerful. It was love, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. We got a way to heaven, everybody, in spite of our sin. Isn't that good news? Come on, shout somebody. You better shout. And David even knew that, because he said, God created me. That was the only one he knew that could change his heart, because we can't do it. I can praise Psalm 51 all day, all year, all long. Our Dorothy can't change it. Only God can do that. Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Ooh, be careful. Because David was lusting in his heart. Jesus already said, if you lusting after somebody, you done already sinned. David was lusting in his heart after Bathsheba when he should have been off to war somewhere. Sometimes we need to be doing something else, but we off doing something else that we ain't got no business of, and sometimes that's when we get in trouble. I'm serious, because David got in trouble. He should have been off to war with the other kings and his men, but no, he's sitting back. And lo and behold, here's a beautiful woman. And all he could think about was that he wanted her. His mind started racing. We have to be careful what we're putting into our minds, because we're going to act on it if we think too hard. And he thought too hard, and one thing led to another. Sin after sin after sin after sin. He tried to cover it up. The heart creating me a clean heart, because the heart tells us what our character is about. If you are acting ugly, if you don't never smile to nobody, there's something going on in there. I don't want to be ugly and act ugly to people, because God loved me in the midst of my stuff. Who am I to judge anybody? I mean, really. And so I'm checking myself daily. What are my moral values? What are my thoughts? This mind is something. Because when we thinking of things, we could think of, I could be praising God and all of a sudden something negative. And I'm like, let's fight all that stuff with the word of God like Jesus did. Let's think on those things that are good. Because these thoughts, because of this sinful nature, we're going to get those thoughts. But you know what? We have the power through the Holy Spirit to get rid of all that negative stuff. We don't have to dwell on it. We could counteract it. And so our mouth exposes our nature or the conditions of our heart. Matthew 12:34 said, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Whew. That's deep. It's deep now. Come on, y'all. What's in your heart? Do you like what's in your heart? 1 Samuel 16:7. This is what God said when Samuel was going to choose a king, because Saul couldn't make it. God told Samuel, he said, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We ought to be doing like this. We can't hide from God, though. But on the outside, everything could look good. On the outside, it looked like Dorothy, she prayed and she danced. She enjoying it. But what's going on up in here? Whew. Some of the things up in here, Dorothy don't like about her. And that ought not to be, because James tells us we shouldn't even be speaking blessing and cursing out of the same mouth. But we praising him, we jump in. And believe me, I'm not talking about y'all. This is me, because I can't speak out of nothing but my own experience. But if you can relate to it, God bless. If you can admit what's going on in here sometimes that you know is not right and God is not pleased, we're supposed to love him first. He's jealous. And you know how we know we love God and how he know we love him? By obedience. And we're not going to never get it right, but we can repent. That's the good thing about it. And you know what another good thing about it? We got Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand, interceding. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Woo, thank you, Lord. Matthew 15:18. But this is what Jesus was telling the Pharisees when they was acting all crazy. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these are what defile him. So if you speak of some stuff out of your mouth that you know ain't right, check it. Check inside. That inner man, that deep part of yourself that you could hear the voice of, that you rationalize with, that you reason with when you're trying to make a decision. He says, this part that got me. Now, this is some of the stuff that's in our heart. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Murder. You think people just one day wake up and go kill? They don't thought about that thing. Even if it wasn't for but a split second. I think I'm going to just go kill somebody today. That's the inner man. Sexual immorality. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft. I want that thing so bad, I'm going to take it. False testimony. That means lying. Don't lie. And slander. Don't slander nobody. Don't talk about them. If you don't like them, pray to God and say, Lord, because I know there's a bunch of people I didn't like. And you know what I did? God chastised me, and I started praying for them. I did. And you know what? My heart began to soften because I had to see that person, even the worst person in the world. Don't you know that God loves that person? The worst person. The worst person in the world God loves. And I'm trying to hate somebody because they didn't speak. They didn't look at me the right way. That's terrible. I'm serious. That's that heart. That heart is something. So, when David says, create in me a clean heart, oh God, I love oh God because he knows that's the person God got it all. Oh God, when you call on God's name, don't you know God is a repairer of hearts? God is a restorer of hearts. God is a reconciler. Even when people today don't even know who I, in my family, don't even know I was mad at them. But God knew, and I knew, and I didn't like it, and I know God didn't like it. So sometimes people don't even know we mad at them, and they don't even think nothing about it. They go on with their life, and we still struggling with that thing. Oh, God, only you can repair this heart. Only you can change this heart. Only you can restore this heart. Ooh, what a mighty God we serve. God, you created this heart. This is your heart. If your heart feel like it's stone, don't you know that God will make it soft? You know, God can control, he can make our hearts hard. You remember Pharaoh? It says God hardened his heart. He wouldn't even let the Israelites go. So God had, this heart belongs to God, this inner person. Belongs to the God that we serve because we have the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is what connects us to God. But if this heart ain't right, it could be some distance. It could be some distance in there. So he didn't only ask for a clean heart or a pure heart. He said, and and renew. Woo! God can make anything new. But renew, remember that little prefix, re? That means again. Renew me. Renew this heart, God, because it's been tainted. Renew this heart because it ain't been feeling right. Renew this heart because it got some thoughts in there that ought not to be. So I need a new heart. Do anybody remember when they first got saved? I've been saved as I was a child. Do you remember how you felt when you accepted Jesus Christ? Go back. Come on, some of us got to go way back. But let's go back and remember how joyful we felt. The young lady that got baptized today, Sabria, praise God for her. Because you remember when you first got baptized and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Excitement. I'm going to do right. I'm going to live right. I'm going to serve you, God. Everybody, let's tell the world, I got saved. God is good. Come on and go to church with me. We was excited. We was on fire for God. But now sometimes we done got settled. We all right. I go to church. I read a scripture or two. That excitement. We want that joy back. That's what David was praying for. Give me my joy back, Lord. The joy that I have in knowing you. The joy that you are my Savior. The joy that there's nothing too hard for you, God. So the renewal part of that has to do with continuously. One prayer, I've been praying, but one prayer ain't going to get it. It's a continuous. We got to continuously pray. We got to continuously read our Bible. This is a continuous walk. We can't get it in one day. I probably won't even get it to the day I die, but I know there's something waiting in heaven for me. Woo, thank you, God. I know something waiting for Dorothy in heaven, where I don't even have to worry about this old body, these old sinful thoughts. So renew. It's a continuous day by day, moment by moment that we have to be renewed. Romans 12:1-2 said, do not be conformed to this world, but continuously be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may be able to determine what God's will is, what is proper, pleasing, and perfect. If we got all these thoughts going on inside of us, we can't even get into the will of God. Because all this other stuff is crowding out his word. It's crowding it out. Our fleshly desire, what we want. Like, and I wish they bring this back, that WWJD, what would Jesus do? We need to bring that back. Because that's what we need to start thinking every day. What would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus think? What would Jesus think about me when I'm hating on somebody? And I'm thinking some negative, evil things about somebody. How does Jesus think about me? That should make us cry. Because we break his heart. He don't want us to be like that. And we should be able to cry for ourselves. We should be crying for some of the stuff that we think and do. Because we know it hurts our Father. It hurts our God. So, God is going to hold us accountable. And I don't know about you, but we got to stand before him one day. And what will he be saying? One of the scriptures in the Bible, and I don't know where it is, but I know it's in there, that really scares me is when I stand before God one day, I don't want him to say to me, depart from me, I know you not. Oh, my God. When I think of that scripture, And we barely making it to heaven. Just know that we barely. The fire is close here. We that close. I don't want to stand before God and think that I've been doing everything right all my life and he tell me, depart from me, you work iniquity. I do not know you. That's even the thought of that hurts me. That's a sad thing. Think about it. To think you're doing good all your life. I've been saved since I've been a baby. And then I'm going to stand before God and hear him say that, no, 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 Jesus. Woo! Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Renew. I need a new spirit. Woo! Transform my mind, God. Transform my heart. Woo! He said, a right spirit. Now, the word right in Hebrew means erect. We're going to stand straight. Perpendicular. Set up. Establish. Fix me. Fix my heart, Lord, so that I will have a steadfast, strong, immovable spirit. Even if I get off track, my spirit going to pull me back in. You know why? Because I'm connected to Jesus. That's my relationship. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. When we hear or we know, we get that inclination that we need to be pulled back in. That's the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful. Every believer has the Holy Spirit to help us. We can't do this alone. And then sometimes we need other people to help us. Nathan had to come. Do you got somebody that's going to check you that you can receive it from? If they come and say, you know, I've had people do that to me, Dorothy, that wasn't right. I've had people come to me and say, that's out of your character. And you know what? I didn't get mad because I had to start examining my heart and say, okay, they're right. So don't get mad if somebody comes. That means they care. They're not just criticizing. And we ought to be receiving it and check ourselves. Well, they deserved it. They didn't know. What do we deserve? What do we deserve from God? Because none of us are worthy. But Jesus got us covered in the blood. So everything, when God looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus over us. His righteousness. It is his righteousness. So we want a right spirit. We want a steadfast, immovable, a spirit that's rightly directed toward God. So when I'm doing something, Holy Spirit, check me and pull me right back into where the Word of God is. Because the Spirit is our inner person. When God breathed into us, he breathed into us the breath of life. We became a living soul. His Spirit is what connect, the Spirit that God breathed into us is his Spirit. So we're connected to him. We don't have any excuse, as Romans 1 talks about. We're without excuse when we look around the world and see everything that God has done. We don't have an excuse. But his Spirit helps us. Our spirit is our direct relationship with God. The part of us that responds to God is the seed of life. That's what I got in my notes. It's the seed of life because you know what? All God got to do is snatch that breath and we're gone. That's his breath we're breathing. So, 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, for who knows a person's thoughts except their spirit within them? You know when something ain't right inside of yourself. I know when something ain't right. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes when the stuff that's not right inside of us, it affects our physical body. We wonder why we got a headache. We wonder why our stomach hurting. Because we got some stuff going on in there that shouldn't be. So the spirit within us is something. And we know, I think that's a gift. I say that's a gift for us to know when our thoughts ain't right within us, when we can check our own self. That's a gift. And that's the Holy Spirit. Christians, we got the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us in this walk. Somebody ought to be shouting. I'm sorry. We don't have to do this alone. God thought of everything when he made us. Everything. He made us. And the world sinned. He said the inclination of everybody was evil. Ooh, help us, Lord. Who want to live in a world like that? God couldn't stand it. He sent the flood. And then he recreated the world. Because he still loved us, despite all of this stuff. And then he gave us Jesus. And Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. That's how much God loves us. Come on, somebody ought to be shouting up in here. We got the Holy Spirit to help us in this Christian journey. Is anybody excited? I'm like somebody, I'm going to praise them all by myself. Come on, hey. Mother was up here praising them. She know. When you know what you know, what you know, what you know. I'm happy that God gave me Jesus, that Jesus died. I'm happy that I have the Holy Spirit. I'm happy that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior because I need help. I need help. I need some help. Do anybody need some help from the Spirit today? Do anybody need some help from the Spirit? Come on, people. This ain't no time to be shy. You know what? David was, I killed the bear. I killed the lion. It's the God I serve. He didn't take credit for killing Goliath. God, the God we serve, gave us a way out of this mess, out of these evil thoughts. Come on, people. Shout! 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 What a mighty God we serve! What a mighty God we serve! What a mighty God we serve! Thank you, Lord! Woo! Come on! Woo! Check your relationship with God! How is your heart feeling today? How is your heart feeling? Is there something in there that shouldn't be? Take it out, Lord. Strengthen me. Because I can't do it alone. I can't. Because in my weakness, I serve a God who is made strong. What's in your heart today? Do you like what's in it? Help Jesus. And even David, because of his relationship, knew he wasn't right. Knew he sinned before God. And nobody even thinks about poor little Bathsheba. Oh, after her mourning was over, oh, he marries her. Really? Bathsheba loved her husband Uriah the Hittite. She loved him. And David killed him. How do you think Bathsheba felt? And David, oh, come on to the palace. We can get married now. Really? Let's think about people we're hurting. And you know what? I'll have to think that David even asked Bathsheba for forgiveness. He killed her husband. You can't repent and lay before God if you ain't even asking for some forgiveness from somebody that you hurt. Sometimes people don't know we holding this stuff, like in my case. But if they know and we doing something to hurt and we know God, we got a relationship with God, we need to go ask some people for forgiveness. Maybe some of them dead or gone. Still forgive them. Oh, they not around no more, Lord. It don't matter. You need to repent. 30 years ago, I was married before. This is my husband back there, Eddie Jenkins. We'll be married 30 years next year. But before I met him, I had a knucklehead husband that was abusive, not physically, but mentally. And do you know I never forgave that man? Till a few years ago when the Spirit of God began working in me and said, you need to forgive him. I don't even know where he is to this day. And I thought, I never forgave him. It don't matter how long it's been. Even if you think people forgot, you may not can get to them. But just tell yourself, I forgive you. I forgive him. I've had to forgive him. I realized I was still holding on to some stuff in here. Because every now and then, something will come back to memory. Anybody got any memories like that? You think you done forgot about something, and out of nowhere, here comes some memory about somebody done did something. Forgive them. And then that's how you know your relationship is growing with God. That's the good news. Because if God ain't checking your spirit and you're not heeding to that spirit, check your relationship. Check your relationship. Because our heart can condemn us and convict us. But you know what 1 John 3:20 say? I love this. But God is greater than our hearts. Yay! Woo! Hey! Come on, somebody. I don't care. I'm a shout and scream. You know why? Like I told you in the beginning, this is personal for me. My heart was condemning me. It was convicting me. But God is greater than my heart. Woo! Yeah! Ain't that good? Come on, y'all. David knew it. He cried out to him. Oh, God, renew the spirit. Create in me a clean heart. David knew it. So that's what I'm going to leave you with, because I could keep on shouting. Because we serve a mighty, mighty. Anybody know we serve a mighty good God? Come on. Woo. Woo. We can't owe him enough. We can't thank him enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise him enough. Because this heart ain't even good enough for God. But he's greater than our hearts. Hallelujah. Woo. See, David prayed for a changed heart. He prayed for a changed heart. And the song that God been having on my heart for the past few months is Tamla Mann's song, Change Me, Oh God. Because this was not the sermon that I chose. But I was like, God, why you have me keep listening to this song? My husband tell you every morning, 2 months, Tamla Mann, change me, oh God. Come on, make me more like you. Woo! Create in me a clean heart so that I can worship you. Do you know God is looking for the true worshipers today? The ones that will worship him in spirit and truth? Isaiah says, we praise him with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. I don't want my heart to be far from Jesus. Check your hearts today. Do a heart checkup. Just take some time and sit. Find somewhere. My challenge for you. Find somewhere and sit. And you'll be struggling to sit quiet because them thoughts. Woo! All them thoughts will start coming. Just know. It's coming from deep inside. If there's some wrong stuff in there, you better be praying and repenting. If some stuff pop up that you don't like, no, it's the Spirit of God within you. That's telling you, just repent. Woo, thank you, Lord. Is anybody looking for a changed heart today? I ain't even going to pray for you. You got to pray for yourself on this one. This is a personal thing. When they talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus, this is what we're talking about. Coming to the altar ain't going to solve it today. What's going to solve it today is you doing a self-examination of your heart. And if you got to cry, cry. If you go home and it hit you there, cry. Pray today for yourself, for your heart. Fix it, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Father, we thank you for your word on today that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray, Lord, that as it went out, Lord, that it will not return void. And I thank you, Lord, that you are a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Thank you for being the God of my life, Father, for checking my spirit when it ain't right. Create in me, oh God, a pure heart. Create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, oh God, and renew. Renew a right spirit within me. In Jesus' name. And that's the song is being sung. I just ask you to sit where you are. You don't need to come up here.
Change me, oh God.
Examine yourself today. Listen to these words.
Make
repent
me
where you are. Pray where you are.
Like you. Wash me through and through. Create in me a clean heart so that I may worship you. Change me, oh God. Make me more. You, Lord, take it out and cleanse me. pleasure to change me. Oh, whatever, Lord, if I'm not walking in your way, Lord, I'm not walking in your way. I need you to change me. Change me, Lord. If I'm not talking like I need to be talking, Lord, I need you to change me, Lord. Whatever that's not like you, Lord, I need you to change me, Lord. I need you to change me. Whatever is not like you, Lord, please, Lord, change me. Oh, yeah, I need you to change me.
Today. Come on, I know y'all can do better than that. Just stand to your feet one last time and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That you know it wasn't we ourselves, but it was God Almighty is the reason why we're here today. That we've confessed it and we've changed it. Now let's walk in it. Hallelujah. As we stand for the benediction over our lives before we leave this building,
I pray that your life will never be the same out today. That you don't have to leave here like you came. Amen. And amen. Touch hands with somebody and touching and agreeing before we leave the house of today. Lord, if we just but knew who was with us on this restless sea of life. When the gale blows like a trumpet and the wind cuts like a knife. No heart, no fear with daunters, our hearts will still be true. We'll walk up on the waters if your people only knew. Lord, if we just but knew who was with us when the wave and the wind seemed strong. When total wreck seemed certain, even then, a joyful song. Our faithful lips would utter and we would know our due. We'll walk up on the waters if your people only knew. As we dismiss from this place, but never from your presence, oh God. Amen. In the majestic name of Jesus, it's done. Amen, amen. And amen.